It's never too late to achieve your goals. Like, you know, you've probably heard it a lot of times off people, but I was 26 when I got my stuff together. You know, like, you hear about people going back to university. It's like, you know, when you're young, maybe you're not ready to listen in school. So when you do find something that you're really interested in, you may notice that you pick up a lot of knowledge. So on a certain subject or interest. So I suggest go find something that you're really interested in and then follow that. My name's Joseph Luke Dargan, Lucky Luke Curry Murray 13. I'm from Northwest Queensland. My mob stretched from the Northwest Queensland over to the territory. So there's Warramungu, Kalkadoon, Wanyi, Ringaringa, Pitapita, and Metacootie. Pretty big tribe all over the place, but they were all mixed in somehow.
Yeah, and is there anything historical about that region or area that our audience should know about?
The Kalkadoon, my people, were known as warriors. They're in one of my songs, I think it was Welcome to Country, I rapped about when there was a massacre out here called Battle Mountain. See, what happened was there was two station owners. There was Kennedy and Powell, and Powell, he was driving the cattle. And there was a family, Aboriginal family, swimming in the waterhole. And he was trying to get them out of the waterhole so he could, you know, give his cattle a drink. But they didn't want to move, so he killed them. And then when he was on his way back to the station, he went down the wrong creek. They called it Mistake Creek, because if he would have went the other way, he wouldn't have bumped into my mob. And so they killed him and defaced him. And when his partner, Kennedy, found his body, which was weeks later, he got the police and all the station owners all together in Cloncurry and they're getting ready to come out and massacre the Kalkadoon people. The Metacootie people used to, because they were mixed in with the Cloncurry, like the white people, they were kind of like spies. And Kennedy sent them out and to see what was going on, because the Kalkadoon people sent a message to get into the Cloncurry police station to declare war. And so he sent the spies there to see what was going on, and they were all doing ceremony, getting ready for war. So Kennedy got the police and all the station owners to attack them early in the morning. That's why, like, a lot of our culture and stuff like that has been lost. Like, we're all still connected to the land and stuff like that, but a lot of our language has been lost.
And so did you grow up in Cloncurry?
Oh, because my father worked on the railway. It was between Mount Isa and Townsville. We were constantly back and forth. And then Mum went to university at James Cook in Townsville. And then when we finished there, I moved back to the country in 1990 and done primary school and high school. So... Mm. Stayed for a bit, moved away to Darwin and a couple of other places, and then came back here. And yeah, man, I've been here ever since.
What was it like growing up there? I mean, I know Mount Isa's a mining town, and I can't imagine it would have been very easy when you talk about that history that you just shared with us, the history and also what's happened to the country and land there. What were the challenges growing up there?
Yeah, it was hard to get a job as a young person just because of just stereotypical type of stuff. You know, they didn't trust you, wouldn't give you a fair go.
Yes. Yeah, and so it would have been hard because you're living on your own nation, obviously, and having other people sort of say how you're supposed to be. How did that make you feel?
Well, the town was built right next to a mine site, and so, you know, to see your land getting raped and pillaged and billions of dollars, you know, getting made from that, and then seeing people living in poverty, you know, and we're not getting a red cent of that money. So, you know, that's kind of like a big slap in the face daily.
Mm. So who were your influences growing up with your music? Like, who did you like?
That was everything. Like, I grew up on Slim Dusty, like a lot of country music, Charlie Pride, Kiss, Black Sabbath, like Guns N' Roses. And then, like, I wasn't introduced to rap music until, you know, like the 90s. And, then just from there, I just was listening to rap all the time. I'd done a bit of DJing, but I never actually rapped. And, but, like, my other cousins, they were, like, influences with my music as well, because they used to listen to heavy metal and, like, techno music and stuff. So, like, a bit of all genres, to tell the truth.
Mm.
Yeah. When I first started rapping, like, because we couldn't rap that well, so, like, every word we were chucking in was just a swear word. And then, and then my mother, she said to me, you know, you need to stop swearing because people are listening to you because of your job and stuff like that. So, you need to start writing down your lines to get better. So she was one of my biggest critics. And then one day I wrote a story rap song. It was called Send Me to My Grave. It was about my grandfather and how he was removed, like his whole family was removed for immoral living. Because my tribal great-grandfather, he had four wives, so they just moved the whole tribe because of that. And because I wrote that story rap, which was part of my country music influence, I won my mother over. And then when I noticed when I come across a lot of older people, they were like, you know, I don't want to listen to that rap crap. You know, just have a listen to the story that's actually in the song. And so that's why a lot of people that listen to my music, it's not a certain age group. It varies from 60-year-olds to 13, even maybe younger.
Well, it sounds like your mum was a big influence in your life.
Yeah, most definitely. She said it's harder to think of another word instead of swearing. You know, so... You know, so I took the challenge. Fast as I can, I don't understand why they took me off my land. I miss my clan, so I'm heading due south. Take a left at the river's mouth. No food, so I'm fresh out. Sweating, feeling hurt, being light-skinned is a curse. If they catch me first, beating's getting worse. So I hit my tracks in the red dirt. I'm going home to the place of my birth.
I see that you have a lot of cheek in you. Your latest film clip that I saw was really cheeky. You're pretty much telling everyone where to go in a nice kind of fashion. It's good to have a laugh, but, you know, there's obviously a serious side to you as well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's because of all the work that I've been doing for years. Like, I've worked in the human services, like, industry type of thing for years. So a lot of that has transferred over to my music.
Well, you said to me that you're a youth worker, and what are the challenges for Murray youth now growing up in your region? Has it changed since you were growing up?
I think it's a bit harder for the youth now because of the substance abuse, but they're still dealing with a lot of stereotypical racism type of stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, they're all just put in just one basket. Like, even though some young people are trying to do good, no one really wants to give them a chance. There are people and places out there that are giving them a fair go, but it's kind of hard, you know, for them to every day, you know, to rise to the challenge. You know, they can't fall down and just be a normal kid and mess up, because once they mess up, you know, then that's it. They're like, oh, you know, typical. Yeah.
Interesting that you say that when you're talking about the sort of the rise and fall and how it's normal to get back up and to keep going. And yeah. What challenges are you seeing that your elders are facing in the community?
The one thing now that I see that's a challenge for the older people is how they move the retirement age. Like, you know, you got a lot of old people out here that's still working, and then sometimes you get really educated elderly people that they can't get a job because, you know, they're too old. So he's a highly educated person on Centrelink. They can't get a job because, I don't know, maybe because of their background, like, you know, because they're Aboriginal, or maybe because they're too old and they can't get a pension and sit back and enjoy their older years. We all know that our people, you know, our life expectancy is, you know, less than Europeans. So, you know, for them to keep pushing the retirement age is pretty unfair.
When you're talking about the regions that you're living in, like, it's quite a remote region. And so, you know, there's a lot of unsung talent in those towns and that, isn't there?
Oh, most definitely. Like, growing up, there was that many sports people. There was, like, you know, they were phenomenal. Coming from a small country town, and they were playing for the Australian team and stuff like that. But because of, you know, peer pressure, substance abuse and stuff like that, or a criminal record, or, you know, any little thing that could get you caught up, it stopped a lot of athletes from going through. You know, you're coming from a single parent home where there's not too much support, you'll see them fall. I feel like I'm from a broken home.
Yeah, well, you've got a song called Broken Home. Keen to talk to you about that track. There's a lot of different messages in that song. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's when all that stuff is going on. I don't know. I try not to write something on social media because of my job positions and stuff like that. But, you know, I couldn't help myself. And so, you know, I've done a song. It's a way of me, you know, expressing myself and getting that anger out, you know, and especially when I see injustice. And, you know, I see the same stuff in Mount Isa as well, and all in the remote northwest. You know, they're just treating our young people like crap, because a lot of the non-Indigenous people that come out here, I'm not saying the ones that grew up, the non-Indigenous that grew up in this area, they're good, but the ones that are transitioned because they're just coming out to work in the mines from the cities, they've never met an Indigenous person before. You know, they just believe all the stereotypes and stuff like that. 10,000 strong munching on the city streets. Munching so strong you can feel the heartbeat. January 2017, when I got selected to go to the Yarvin Festival, that was really powerful. We all started at Redfern early in the morning. And then we marched through the city to the Yarvin Festival. You know, it was over 10,000 of us. And, yeah, it was very empowering. And there's no justice for the boys' family. There was this one guy here. We were about a block away from the park, and he gave this great speech, but my phone was flat and I couldn't record it. His speech was kind of like a eulogy of our people, and it was like, you know, I'm sick of crying, and it's just, you know, I'm sick of mourning our mob, and it, like, how he done it. It was like real powerful. And then he went to burn the flag, and then the police tear gassed us. So I was about 2 meters away from when the tear gas got chucked in. Yeah, that was crazy to see that type of stuff, because you don't see that stuff in the bush. Like our NAIDOC, there'd probably be, I don't know, 400 people go marching. So to march with 10,000 people was amazing. I was amazed, like, there was a lot of non-Indigenous people, you know, like the Muslim community come out and supported us. And they were doing speeches. And after, when we got gassed, the whole crowd just started marching on the police, and the police ran over to the other side of the road, and then we're all chanting F the police, and all these non-Indigenous people were going up to the police officer's face, pointing the finger, going F the police, F the police. And I was like, oh wow, you know, they're crazy. Yeah, I was like, wow, really blew my mind. So where do we go from here? Do you want to hear the struggle? Do you want
us to disappear? Do you want to live in a... Let's talk about your writing. And there's a song that you've written, Coffee Mug, and it's quite catchy. Do you want to let us know a bit about that one?
Yeah, my first two albums, it was all, like, advocating for my people and talking about my life and stuff like that. You know, it was, like, that socially conscious type of music, which is really popular right now. So I just thought I might go a different way with this new album and just have kind of pop music. There's something different, just, you know, just show people that I'm not just this same rapper talking about the same issues. So with Coffee Mug, when I was first purchased the beat off Golden Day, I was listening to it and I was rapping along to it, but I couldn't really find my flow. And then because I was listening to the Eagles earlier that day, you know, I thought of just singing along to it. So, you know, I'll be running down the road trying to listen to my lights. So, like, I got 7 women on my mind. So, like, that actually fit with it. So I changed the words around. So, like, just to bounce with that flow with the music. So I just kind of like it because it's not rapping and overpowering and yelling at somebody. It's, you know, it's kind of singing along softly, doing, you know, like a different type of style.
Your latest song, there's a lot of swearing in that. I'm not sure if your mum had a chance to check in on that one, but it seems like you're walking away from everyone, or you had enough. What was going on there?
Oh, that's the Gone Forever song. Yeah, that's the one I've done in Wagga Wagga with my mate now. I don't know, I was just looking for something different and something a bit of tongue-in-cheek, something funny. Originally, I wrote that song to another beat, and then when I went to work with Raj, I said, you know, this is the beat that I want. You know, can you make something like it? And then he came and totally flipped the beat and come up with that track.
What were you singing about? What's the story there?
Originally, I was going to do this album called Walkabout. So, like, that was kind of like the intro. Like, I just broke up with my partner. Then, you know, I was going to travel around Australia and do all the different experiences of meeting different people and doing different things. So that song was supposed to be the intro, but I've since dropped that idea. But it was like, you know, I'm gone forever. You know, I'm not coming back soon type of thing. What up, does like a Murray just claiming Crips, but on the real, I'm just down for this family shit. I'm your nation like Bush stuck up on G. Hit the 10, need a bully beef when I'm hungry. Digital underground like Humpty Humpty. I got a new woman, so I don't need your company. I'll be gone forever, and I ain't coming back soon.